what I want. I serve you, Lord. Father, we give you the praise. I will give you the honor. We appreciate you. Thank you for a time like this in your presence. It is the day you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. Unchangeable God, 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 unchangeable God. I welcome everyone here this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Is our testimonies and thanksgiving service, end of month thanksgiving, in the month where we are dealing with the wisdom of God. We shall quickly look at access to divine wisdom, part 4, this afternoon, and then come into the dedications shortly after that. Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 7, he said, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all your getting, get understanding. Last Friday we started looking at how to access divine wisdom. It has been said that common sense is not common. So many times, you see people behave and you wonder, where were they reasoning from? The truth, however, is less common is divine wisdom. If common sense is scarce, divine wisdom is rare. There are a lot of marital decisions that wouldn't have been made if the wisdom of God, direction from God, guidance from God was available. A lot of business decisions, a lot of career decisions that wouldn't have been made. A lot of unnecessary stress, unnecessary tension people have passed through in life for lack of divine wisdom. Regrettable and disastrous steps that people have taken in life. Unnecessary pains, unnecessary sorrows, even premature death that could have been avoided in certain cases if the wisdom of God was available. Many great opportunities in life were lost because of the unavailability of the wisdom of God. You remember, Saul, the king of Israel, lost the opportunity. God said, if you do well, I'll establish your throne forever. That opportunity was lost because he hearkened to the voice of men and came under the pressure of men instead of the plan of God. So it is important to understand our access to the wisdom of God, which equals the purpose of God, the counsel of God, the guidance of God, the ways of God. And how do we access the wisdom of God? We started on Wednesday by looking at the way number one is the way of devotion to God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. True devotion to God. A man who doesn't fear God is excused from the realm of divine wisdom. We saw that on Wednesday. And secondly, we saw through the revelation of the scriptures. The Bible said scriptures are able to make wise. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 15. from a little child, you have received the Holy Scripture that is able to make you wise. The Bible, the Word of God, is the wisdom bank of God. We saw that on Wednesday, number 3. Also, through supplication unto God, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask. The place of prayer is the place of wisdom. If anybody is in need of guidance, anybody is in need of direction, ask me at the place of prayer. We saw that on Wednesday. And then in the first service today, we went to number 4. True meditation or reflection. True meditation or reflection. The Bible said, as Peter thought on the vision, the Holy Ghost spoke to him. As Peter thought on the vision, Acts chapter 10 verse 19, God speaks to those who reflect. He speaks to those who think. He speaks to those who meditate. As Peter thought on the vision. And we are saying that there is a difference between thinking and worrying. Worrying is the destructive engagement of the mind. Engaging the mind destructively. But thinking is the productive engagement of the mind. How do I live here where I am to where I'm going? Through meditation or reflection, wisdom can come. Number 5 is true instruction. Give instruction to the wise, the Bible said, and he will be wiser. Information is the base of wisdom. Knowledge is the base of wisdom. If knowledge is absent, wisdom can't be present. So you must know something first. You must be informed, you must be instructed before you can apply the instruction, which becomes wisdom. And that is number 5. Number 6, we saw also in the second service, true inquisition or inquiry. When you ask questions, you are entitled to answers. Inquiry is the doorway to discovery. We said that God gives answers to those who ask questions. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 7, he said, ask and you shall receive. Ask and it shall be given to you. We saw that in the last... We saw that in the last service, through inquiry, God's wisdom can come. The next one we saw, number 7, was true association. Association with the wise. If you can show me who your closest friends are, I can show you how wise you are. The Bible said in Proverbs 13 verse 20, he said, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you show me who your friends are, it can be predicted how wise you are. It takes a level of wisdom to select your kinds of friends, and the kind of friends you have right now will determine what wisdom you can have later. That was very, very impactful in the second service. Association. It brings assimilation. When you walk with the wise, you follow their footsteps. Very, very important. That was in the last service. Now we're going to look at 2 more in this service. Number 8 is through observation. Wisdom generally and divine wisdom particularly can come through what your eyes see. In 1 Kings chapter 4 and in verse 32 to verse 34, concerning Solomon, the Bible said he spake 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. He spake of trees, which means he observed trees. From the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. He was speaking of the things he observed. Observation affects discretion. Observation affects discretion. The wise man by name Miles Monroe said, eyes that look are many, but eyes that see anything are very, very few. Observation. Let's take it further. Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse 6 to verse 11. Look at what Solomon said. He said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider or observe her ways and be wise. Open your eyes, observe her ways and be wise. He said they have no guide, they have no overseer, they have no ruler. But he provides herself meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come as one that traveleth, and your want as an armed man. He said, if you go to the ants, if you open your eyes to see the ants, you will experience the dignity of diligence. And also you can contrast it with the disaster of indolence. Very important. Now, in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 30 to 34, he made it more direct. He said, I went by the field of the slothful. I went to the farmland of the lazy man. I went to the vineyard of the man that is without understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nestles covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. Look at that. He said, then I saw, that is, I observed and considered it well. I looked upon it, and as I was seeing it, I was instructed. As I was looking, back up to verse 32, he said, I looked upon it and received instruction. You see, there are things you hear when you see things that no mortal told you about. He said, I will stand upon my watch and I will watch to see what he will say. I saw it and I was instructed. Somebody say aloud, amen. What is the meaning of that to you? Two things. Observation brings both instruction and revelation. And that is called wisdom. You look, you receive instruction. You look, you receive revelation, and you become wise. Growing up as a child, I observed marriages and I observed homes. And many of the things I observed was something like this. If you want to fail as a father and as a husband, behave like this. I've been around people in ministry, growing up in ministry. And I saw ministers and ministries that showed me what not to do. That is, if you want to fail, follow these steps. The way this guy is operating, I operate like that if you want to end on time. When you are looking and seeing nothing, the eyes are a burden to the head. The eyes are just a waste of possession. You have ears, you heard nothing. You have eyes, you are seeing nothing. It's a waste of possession. Am I communicating at all? You know, there are people who are looking, but they are seeing nothing. They are listening, but they are hearing nothing. time you are, see, what one thing I do with my life is whether at the junction my eyes are open, my pen and paper is in my hand. I like to drive a lot. As far as my wife is concerned, I'm the best driver she has ever met. I used to crisscross the country from Jos to Calabar to Jos. I remember we moved one day, Zaria, Kano, Bauchi, just like that. But the only reason why I got a driver many years ago is so that I can write as fast as I see things. And there is so much to learn. The first time I saw that disorder is the foundation for stagnation, I saw it at a junction. I didn't read it in a book. I just stood at a junction and I was watching. And as I was watching, all the traffic people, everybody was running. No traffic controller at the junction. Everybody ran until they met at the center of the junction and their journeys were arrested. Okay, you are in a hurry, you came here. This one is in a hurry, you came. This one is in a hurry, you came. This one is in a hurry, you came. Everybody jammed at the junction. I was rushing to law school in Buari to go and preach. And everybody was established at the junction. And I looked and I received instruction. What was the instruction? Everywhere there is disorder, there must be stagnation. Progress ends where order stops. If you want life to move forward, order your life. I wrote in the Seeds of Destiny many years ago, if where you are now seem to be slowing you down, just keep moving. The front is free. I saw it in Lagos. I was rushing to Canaan land and a trailer packed. And I saw a lot of hold up. And we're coming. And suddenly I saw that. We came to a point and all of a sudden, it was a trailer that almost blocked the road. I would move and the road, the front was free. And I saw it. I received instruction. Don't let anything stop you. Even if it is slow now, in any realm, just keep on applying the fire. It is not always congested. The front can be free if you don't stop your motion here. Am I speaking to somebody at all? I have seen that God is no respecter of persons. I've seen it everywhere and I've seen it. The question is, you are seeing many things, but are you seeing anything? Oh Lord, open my eyes to see what I am seeing and to hear what I am hearing. When the university many years ago, and a man came from India, they used to call it, they said he was the evangelist, he was the Billy Graham of India. And he came and he was telling us a story of how Nigerians were impacting the world, around their world. And he told the story of how a young Nigerian planted so many underground churches in China. And he said, Nigeria, the world is waiting for you. And I stood and I tapped the person sitting by me. I said, did you hear what the man just said? He said, the world. Did you hear what the man just said? He said, what did he say? I said, what he said concerning Nigeria. He said, I don't understand. What particularly did he say? It was a heavy blow, a bomb that dropped in my spirit, that put me under the pressure, that as a Nigerian, if my world is waiting for me, I must mark this world. But the person sitting by me sat there, the words passed. He didn't hear. You will hear something. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. Lift up your right and say, Father, cause me to hear what I am hearing and cause me to see what I am seeing. Say it louder. Say, Father, cause me to hear what I'm hearing and cause me to see what I'm seeing. Take your seat. When I was a little boy growing up, were passing. I was passing to the road, a particular road going to a particular hospital area there. And there was this man who used to sell pepper soup at the junction. They used to call him manager. I don't know what he was managing, but he was selling pepper soup there. And every time you are passing, his own mouth is moving. That is, he is the first partaker of the pepper soup. After a while, as I observed him, I received instruction. After a while, the business closed down. He ate it up. What did he do? He ate the business. The business entered his stomach. I realized that if you want to succeed in life, you must not be expenditure centered. You don't eat up what you have. You must be more interested in what you are pushing out than what you are putting on. One of our businessmen came to me the other day, and I've been talking in that line for a long time. He has big businesses here and there. And he said to me, "Sir, I just want to let you know that I have put myself on salary now." I told him, "Congratulations." He said, "I don't have access to any money that belongs to the organization except what I am paid every month." I said, "You have started. You have now begun. The time when all the money is in your hands and you take this one, you take that one. Do you need anything? Take. What of you? Take this one. I've seen a new car. Buy a new car. I've seen a new dress. Buy a new dress." That is, you are killing whatever is in your hands, and there is a limit to what God can send your way. He said, "My salary is so and so per month." That is somebody who is writing checks in many, many, many zeros. 8, 9. "This is my salary a month." You have started. If after that you want to buy a car and it's a company car and you bought it, congratulations. You want to do business travels and the company pays your travel expenses, congratulations. But this one, where everything is, there's no demarcation. There's no difference between what belongs to the company and what belongs to you. And then everything is just there to spend and touch any day. No future. I told him, I said, "I'm happy for you. You have started." I laid hands on him for greater exploits. That's how to manage life. You see, you manager ate up his future. All the meat belongs to manager. Did you hear what I said? All the meat belongs to manager. It is when he finishes eating that he will sell the balance. Am I communicating at all? What I am saying now applies to every area of life. Every area. Solomon said, "I saw this man's farm. From what I was seeing, I received education. I received education. I received instruction. I was taught." Somebody say a louder amen. How many of you know that children look straight into your eyes? Little babies look straight. When I see them, I receive a lot of instruction from children. They look straight into your eyes. They don't blink. And I realized one day as I saw them, I realized that where there is nothing to hide, there is nothing to fear. I realized that integrity strengthens audacity. They fear not, they just look straight into your eyes. So you have these things that are there. You see it and you learn. The major bulk of wisdom came to Solomon from observation. Second thing is to notice, observation impacts the heart onto wisdom. Lamentation 3:51 says, "My heart, my eyes affected my heart because of all the daughters of my city. The things you see impact your heart. They change your heart. It can make your heart wiser or otherwise, depending on what you are seeing. Very, very important. That was wisdom from observation. And finally, for this service, true separation. You separated yourself for prayer. You separated yourself for inquiry. You can get wisdom from God. You can get direction from God. You can get the counsel of God. You can get the guidance of God. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 18 verse 1, it said, true desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom, true desire. When Daniel was looking for a particular secret, in Daniel chapter 2 verse 16, all the way to verse 19, he went in, desired the king that he will give him time. I need time. And then Daniel went to his house, made the thing known, and as he separated himself, the secret was revealed to Daniel in the night vision. Let me say this as we go. First, that times of separation are times of revelation. Times of separation, times of isolation are times of the explosion of revelation, instruction. He said, be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46 verse 10. There is knowledge in stillness. There is revelation in separation. When you calm down your mind, quieting yourself, take a day, 2 days, 3 days out of hectic schedule of life. Lord, I am looking for direction in this area. I'm looking for your wisdom in this area. He said, be still and know. It means until you are still, you cannot know. There are things you will never know until you quieten yourself before God. Times of separation and quietness are times of the explosion of insight, knowledge, revelation. Secondly, times of separation and isolation are often times of visitation. When you are able to position yourself, take a day, 2 or 3 days out of your busy schedule, and you say, here am I, Lord. Those times become times of visitation. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. And provided God saw that he was left alone, he encountered him. He encountered him there where he was left alone. Wife, children, gave him space. You see, whenever you are separated unto God and isolated unto God, you can get visitation. And the visitation will birth revelation. Because that was when Jacob's name was changed. Chapter 32, verse 24 to 28. That was when God visited him. And the visitation brought a revelation, brought a transformation, a complete change of story. Very, very important. There is a 1 day, 3 day, 7 day, 10 day cycle of separation that you can give to yourself. 3 days maybe, 1 day maybe, from morning till night, no television, no call, no text. You see, we are busy hearing from man to the point where we don't hear anything from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? This information age, technology age, it has not helped issues at all. They have succeeded in engaging man away from God. Yesterday, my wife and I were talking in the car. And I said, when we were in school, there was nothing like GSM. There was nothing like mobile phone. It's not too far ago. The only thing you had, landline. If you want to call your mother or your father, you have to go to somewhere where there is physical phone to call. And I said, in fact, we didn't call any frequently because both your mother and your father trust you that you are okay, and you too trust them that they are okay. But today, under 12 hours, Eyo, how are you? What you eat today? What you wear today? What's your name? Are you from Nigeria? Strangers you have never met before. Some have been invited and killed. Am I communicating? All manner. So and I think the devil deliberately did it to make man busy without God. Even time to study the Bible does not exist for most people. Time of prayer does not exist for most people. It is strange today when you call somebody's phone and the phone is ringing busy and the person is angry. I called you many times and you didn't answer. I say, I'm the owner of the phone. I'm the one who deliberately decided not to answer. I put it on silent so I can silence every voice that is coming at the wrong time. You are the one who bought the phone. The phone didn't buy you. You bought it to use it, not to be used by the phone. Am I communicating? If we are not careful, these things will destroy. Do you know that all these cartoons are destroying a lot of children's lives today? A little boy stabbed his brother to death. And he said, what happened to him? He said, a cartoon talked to him. That cartoon in the television told him to do it. Somebody say amen. So there is a time. For me, my schedule is, if I have not heard from the word, I don't want to, the first thing in the morning, I don't want to hear a phone call first. Why? Why must I hear from man before I hear from God? The Bible says, seek first the kingdom, seek first. In the same manner, food is not comfortable in the mouth, except I have seen the Bible first. Because I must break the bread of life before I break the bread of the flesh. And this is scripture. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Beloved, if we can reduce the influx and influence of human voices through all these avenues, and once in a while shut down, you will hear God more. You will get wisdom. You will get direction. You will get discretion. You believe that, say aloud, amen. Somebody heard something, lift your hand, say, Father, help me to hear from you more than I am hearing from the world. What is the conclusion before we close this morning? Whatever must be possessed must be pursued. There is no possession scripturally without a pursuit. Seek, and you will find. Then shall you know, if you follow on to know. Hosea chapter 6 verse 3. Follow on to know the Lord. My heart followeth hard after thee. I believe it was Psalm 63 and in verse 1. Whatever must be possessed must be pursued. If you want wisdom from God, you want direction from God, you want guidance from God, it must be pursued. It must be pursued. Assumption brings frustration. Don't assume. Ask him. If he didn't, if he has not answered you today, wait a little bit. The answer is coming. Pray in the spirit and wait. Maybe a scripture will come forth. Go through the scripture entirely. Maybe a dream of the night. Maybe a message in the church. And I believe it's a new day for somebody. Is there somebody here who is accessing the wisdom of God this week? Stand on your feet with a loud shout of amen. A louder shout of amen. A bigger shout of amen. Go ahead and lift up your hands and let's speak to God. Let's speak to him. Let's honor him. Let's adore him. Let's worship him. Let's worship the I am that I am. Let's worship the El Shaddai. Let's worship the Adonai.
Let's worship him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the praise. Le parata sata la parada dagalaya la hashta. Le parata sata le ke perata kasako kalabaya la. Oh yes, Lord, give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Father, we love you. Father, we honor you. Father, we adore you. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your voice after me and say, Father, I come before you today. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy to my life. Blessed be your name, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. I come before you today. Open my eyes to see. Open my ears to hear. And help me, Lord, in my seasons of separation, to understand your mind for my life. Go on and speak to God whatever is on your mind to tell him at this moment. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Oh, glory, oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All the glory, the glory. Glory, glory to the Lord. All the glory, all the glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed, blessed be the Lord.
Sing hallelujah, Hosanna, Hosanna,
Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Father, we thank you. Anyone that is here today, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You are saying to me, Pastor, I want that fear of God established in my heart. I want today to mark a new day for me. I want to live for you, Lord. I want to do your will. Help me to live for you. Help me to do your will. Help me to fulfill your purpose. Anywhere you are, you want Jesus to be Lord over your life. Quickly pick your Bibles and pick your bags and rush to the front here quickly and let me pray for you. You want to be broken free from an addiction, a negative lifestyle, something you are not happy about, a life you are living you don't like. Quickly come forward. Alcoholism, tobacco smoking, drunkenness, masturbation, lesbianism, lying, cheating, duping, fraudulent practices, 419, whatever it is, pick your Bibles and your bags and come forward. Please, the rest of us, take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Quickly rush forward.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, oh Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Have your way.
Everybody say,
I live for you alone.
I live
for you alone.
Every moment I'm away.
Lord, have your way.
Everybody,
Lord, I give you. Lord, I give you. Give you my soul. Live for you alone. Every give a moment I. Lord, have your way. Live for you, Lord.
Every moment of a
Lord, have your way.
Place your right hand on your chest, all of you. Lift up the other hand and pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today to ask for your help and your mercy. Come into my life today. Make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, Lord. No turning back. From today, forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of the enemy broken off your life. Grace to live for God is released upon you. And I declare it is done. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.